Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Today, on Life Rattle number 1376, we bring you two stories by new Life Rattle writer Faiza Tariq. Faiza Tariq, born in Lahore, Pakistan in 1993, has two older and one younger sister. Her dad worked as a government auditor, which meant her family frequently traveled by train to different cities and villages within Pakistan. When the family moved to Canada in 2001, Faiza, an introvert by nature, spent more time at the library reading fairy tales and stories about magic, witches, and ghosts. Faiza Tariq currently lives with her sisters and her two-year-old nephew, who pushes his auntie Faiza to come up with new stories that sometimes involve a butterfly dancing with an owl in the clouds. In these intimate, family-centered stories, laced with unexpected dashes of humor, Faiza Tariq engages us with intelligent dialogue and sparkling glimpses of the characters surrounding our narrator, their quirks, and their individual dispositions. Our first story takes place in a classroom in Pakistan, where a newly appointed English teacher decrees the left hand fit only for the work of the devil, and insists that our seven-year-old left-handed narrator conform. Let's listen now as Faiza Tariq reads her story, To the Right Side.
To the Right Side by Faiza Tariq. Ma, I'm not feeling well. I faux cough under the blanket. It's just a dry cough. The doctor said yesterday, it's only the spell of this December fog. Now get up before I call Abba. Ma snaps at me and leaves to make breakfast. I moan. That last threat always works. My father didn't miss a single day of school in his life, and he is bent on making sure his kids don't either. I pull off the cozy blanket, stumble to the bathroom, turn the hot water tap, and instead of gas-heated water, my hands are pierced with pellets of ice water. Ugh, Sara Bhaji. How much warm water do you have to use to wash your fat face? I shout at Baji's door. My older sister's room is also connected to the bathroom. I brace myself as I cup my hands under the waterfall of icy water and splash my face. I squeal, wondering if there are other countries like Pakistan where sisters fight over hot water in the winter. I clean up, dash back to my room, and warm my hands over the gas heater. I don my crisp, warm, navy blue skirt and white blouse that Ma laid out in front of the heater. I pull my black shoes out from under the bed and polish them with the inside of my skirt. Preparing for school brings back memories from 2 days ago. Memories of the new, strict English teacher, Salma. I sniff a little as I think of teacher Kesar, my favorite teacher, who always gave us fun topics to write about. But she has married and gone, and the new, strict English teacher, Salma, has come in her place. Farah, Sara's booming voice startles me. She crept up behind me in my room. Why didn't you polish your shoes last night? I bet you thought you could take another day off with that fake sickness of yours, huh? And look at this bird's nest on your head. Sara scorns me. As she braids my hair, I slip my feet into my shoes, strap the buckles, and tap my shoes together. I rub the side of my middle right finger. The redness from 2 days ago has disappeared, but just thinking of facing English teacher Selma brings a tingle to my right hand. I've been a lefty for as long as I can remember in my short life of 7 years. I always play sports and paint and color and write with my left hand, and no teacher has ever said anything, except new English teacher Selma. It's bad etiquette to do anything with your left hand, Farah Beta. Teacher Selma's snappy voice rings in my head. Instead of correcting my grammar and sentences in English, she has made it her mission to switch me over to the right side. Teacher Selma doesn't let me write about fairy godmothers and magic and princesses. She instructed me to write the alphabet 26 times with my right hand until the letters looked proper and stopped doing a funny dance on the lines. As Sara Bhaji and I raced down the 2 flights of stairs from our flat, Arshad Chacha, the school bus wala, shouts at my mother, peering from the balcony. Beta, next time your girls don't come down right away, I will just leave, okay? I have 3 more kids to pick up after Farah and Sara Bhaji. We make it to the gates of Heritage School System just in time for the bell ring. While students march towards their classes, Sara Bhaji and I position ourselves by the tall blue gate along with a handful of other students to greet the teachers good morning. It's a tradition that each class representative does every morning. I see my class teacher, Teacher Leila, walk in with a stack of papers, and I rush towards her to help. Her head jerks back and she pauses when she sees me. "Are you feeling better now?" she demands. "Your mother called in yesterday and I was shocked to hear you were going to be absent." "Yes, teacher, I am feeling better. I will try not to be absent. Sorry." I drape my eyelashes over my eyes in respect of old Teacher Leila. "Good. I had a tough time carrying stuff yesterday. If you keep missing school, I might have to change the class representative." "Sorry, teacher," I mutter with my head still bowed down. Teacher Leila jumps straight into numbers. Apparently, she started teaching multiplication yesterday. Oof, Allah. My insides turn into a knot. My best friend, Sanya, and I sit together in every class. She slowly skids her notebook to the center of the desk, and I scurry to copy her notes. Next up, science with Sir Kadir. He enters the class to our loud chatter, but doesn't say anything. He is always easy on us girls. Then, social studies with Teacher Meher. How many oceans did she say we have? We stay in the same chilly, windowless classroom on the 2nd floor as the teachers come and leave. During break, I moan to Sanya about the homework that piled up while I was away. "Oof, Farah, wait till Teacher Salma's class. I think she enjoys seeing us suffer every single day." Sanya hesitates and then she adds, "especially you." I shudder at Teacher Salma's name. Sanya and I munch our fries in the shade under a tree and then run off to join the other girls playing tag. After break, we race up the stairs to our classroom and chatter and giggle around our wooden desks and chairs and wipe the sweat from our brows and sip from our bottles until we hear a cough outside the door. "Good afternoon, Teacher Selma." We all stand erect and sing in unison as Teacher Selma enters the room. She peers over her glasses and nods, signaling us to sit. "Okay, girls, please take out your notebooks. You will convert the following sentences into future tense. Also, I do not want to hear you girls speaking in Urdu during English class, please. You girls sound very pendu, illiterate. She thinks English is above every other language. With her back to us, teacher Salma inks the board with at least a dozen sentences. When she finishes, she marches through the class, peeking over notebooks here and there. Hanya, improve your writing, please, beta. I hear teacher Salma's exasperated voice a couple of rows down from me. My heart thumps in my chest. Click, click, click. Pause. Click, 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 click. Pause. The sound of teacher Salma's heels becomes louder and moves closer until they pause. My hand trembles as I steal a sideways glance at her silhouette towering over my desk. She wears a black dress. Farah, why are you still on the first sentence, beta? Have you forgotten how to write? A few girls around me snicker. No, teacher, I mutter. I would be faster if I wrote with my left hand. I finished my science assignment first in class today because I used my left hand. My eyes stay fixed on my notebook. Silence. How dare you talk back? Teacher Salma snaps back. The left hand is for the devil's work. Has your religion teacher not taught you anything? Her voice echoes off the white concrete walls. Sorry, teacher. I swallow my tears. A few girls around me whisper as their mouths round into O's. Good. Now I will speak to all your teachers and make sure you write with the right hand in their classes too. How else will you keep up? It is bad manners to talk back to your teachers or anyone older than you. People older than you are always right and kids are always wrong, okay? Teacher Salma rests her knuckles on her waist, marches to the front of the class, and drones through the rest of the class with a lecture on bad etiquettes. I keep my eyes fixed on the notebook. That evening, as I distract my mind with homework, Abba comes over to help me out. Aisha, come look at our talented daughter. She is mastering ambidexterity. Abba chuckles and pats my back as Ma rushes in. I look at their grinning faces in shock. I am what, Abba? I ask. Ambidexterity. Here, Abba plucks the pen out of my hand and splatters the word across my palm. It is the ability to write with both your right and left hand. Ambidexterity. I wrap my tongue around each syllable as I stare at the word. But Abba, how can we write with our left hand? That's for the devil's work. My eyebrows knit themselves together. Oof, nonsense. Who told you that? Yes, eat with your right hand. That was our prophet's teaching. And the right hand is preferred for most clean acts in our religion. But use the hand you're comfortable with for writing and sports and other things. Abba drops into the leather couch beside me as he explains. But teacher Salma says it's bad etiquette. My voice stammers as tears pour down my face. Hi, beta. So what if she says it? Why are you crying? Be strong. Ma flings her arms around me while Abba chuckles at Ma's dramatic flair. How dare this Salma put tears in my daughter's eyes? I will go talk to her soon. Abba's voice turns serious. No, Abba, it's okay. I want to be... I pause to wipe my eyes. I want to be ambidextrity, I say as Ma mops my cheeks with her sleeves. Good. Close those books now and get some rest. Else you will be waking to Arshad Chacha's hand glued to the school bus horn. Abba laughs as he stuffs my books into my bag. But teacher Salma does not back down. She convinces all the other teachers and has a permanent glare saved just for me during English class. She backbenches my left hand and forces me to write with my right hand over the next few weeks. I bury my head into my notebook during every class, and as the teacher's voice drones, my right hand guides the pencil to fill the pages. Then one day, I forget to pick up the pencil with my left hand. Teacher Salma has won. 2 months later, teacher Leila selects a new class representative. She needs a more attentive and outgoing person. Abba and Ma notice my dejected aura, and after Abba gives teacher Salma a hearing in front of the principal for being so harsh on a 7-year-old, he decides to transfer me to another school. I say goodbye to Sanya. The new school is called Lahore Grammar School. At my first English class, I hesitate when it's time to meet the new teacher, Fauzia. As she glides into the class, I fidget in my seat with the edges of my white summer uniform frock. Okay, girls, take out your notebooks and please write a paragraph about your favorite animal. Use the future tense, she says before perching on her chair with a Harry Potter novel in her hand. The tiny classroom fills with whisper and chatter. I eye teacher Fauzia, expecting her to rage in teacher Salma style and to march through the class and order the girls to be silent. Teacher Fauzia lifts her gaze from the Harry Potter novel, smiles as she locks her gaze with mine, flips a page and goes back to reading. She performs this ritual until the end of the class as the girls continue to chatter around me. Hey, what animal are you writing about? Asks the girl who sits beside me. She has a small, round face pulled back by her long ponytail. Her name is Hiba. I am writing about Cinderella's mice. I smile and let out a long breath.
That was Faiza Tariq reading her story, To the Right Side. Our second story, also set in Pakistan, presents an entertaining character sketch of a wily grandmother who incorporates a variety of approaches to satisfying her sweet tooth into an explanation of how her arranged marriage at the age of 12 wasn't quite the shocking experience her teenaged granddaughter thinks. Let's listen now as Faiza Tariq reads her story, The Mithai Plate.
The Mithai Plate by Faiza Tariq. But Nano, you were only 12, I exclaim. My eyebrows knit themselves together as I look into my maternal grandmother's eyes. My teeth chatter as I hug the blanket tighter around me. Oof, please. Those were simpler times. Everyone got married early in Pakistan back then. Nano waves with one wrinkly hand while the other clings to a plate of mithai. The sweets rest on one of the many rolls of her tummy. Her sagging love handles droop all over my queen-sized bed. I flop sideways on the edge of the bed to face her. Yeah, but still, I object, rubbing my hands together to warm them up before going back to texting on my phone. It wasn't complicated though, marriage that is. My husband, your Nana, may he rest in peace, left for work 2 days after we were married. His mother, my sas, woke me up every morning, told me to shower, dressed me in nice clothes, decorated me with jewelry, and let me play outside. I used to climb trees all day long and picked apples from the trees, she says softly. From beneath her sagging eyelids, her brown eyes steal a look over my shoulder towards the door before she slips another piece of mitai into her mouth. My phone thuds softly when I drop it onto the bed, and I dig my hands into the purple blanket and rub them in an effort to create warmth. The clatter of cutlery sounds from the kitchen. The maids doing the dishes. I shudder at the thought of the ice-cold running water. Oh God, I wish I can have a sauce like that one day, I muse, and then without looking up from my phone, add, Nano, stop eating so much mitai. A couple of minutes pass by in silence. I look up and see that Nano's eyes are shut tight behind her round-framed glasses. Her wrinkly white chin rests on her shoulder. Her mouth is slightly parted, and the residue of the last mitai piece stains her pink lips yellow. Both of her hands guard the plate of mitai. I reach out to grab the plate from her stomach, and she wakes up. Did I ever tell you the story when refugees came from India after partition in 1947? Nano burps while she waits for a reply. Yes, you did, Nano. They all came through Lahore and some even came to your house. I shake my head to rid my nose of the sweet smell that suddenly fills the air and go back to texting. They were so ugly and dirty, she exclaims. Nano, that's mean. They had nothing to travel with. Dada and Dadi, my father's parents, were among the refugees. I look up from my phone and frown. Yes, yes, I know. And my sas would help out every single refugee that passed by our house. I used to be so scared of them, though, Nano chuckles. My phone buzzes and I return to texting. After a couple of minutes, I hear Nano lightly snoring. Drool the color of yellow mitai dribbles from the corner of her mouth. The door flings open. Fajju, are you giving mitai to Nano? My mom's tall body sweeps in a rush of cold December air. Nano's head jerks up. No, I protest. I was eating them, promise. And then Nano only took a couple. Nano pushes the plate towards me, and I place it on my bedside table. She struggles to raise herself into a sitting position. The bed creaks and quakes as it bears Nano's shifting weight. Oh, Amma, were you sleeping again? You're always sleeping. When was the last time you ate? I made some rice and lentils for you. Eat that and then you have to take your insulin, Mom says softly. She bustles towards Nano to help prop her up. No, I wasn't sleeping. Fajju and I were talking. And I don't want to eat yet. I am fine. Nano frowns and blinks left and right to avoid Mom's stare. Where are my glasses? I poke Nano's tummy and point at her face when Mom turns her back to us. You're wearing them, Amma. And no, you have to eat, or I'll call Bhaijaan and tell him you are eating too much mitai again. You don't want your oldest son knowing now, do you? Mom shouts over her shoulder as she leaves the room. Nano's lips move as she mutters something under her breath. Oh God, Mom, can you at least close the door? I shout as I blow air into my cold hands. And Nano, no more mitai, or else Mom will get mad at both of us, I whisper. Here, give me your hands, she says. I smile as I extend my arms out to Nano. She cups my hands, rubs them together, and blows into my palms. I sigh as the warmth fills my skin. Suddenly, she holds them tightly with one hand, raises her shirt, and slips my hands under one of her tummy rolls. My hands jam between two of the tires. Oh God, Nano, what are you doing? See how warm it is in there? She grins. She covers up her tummy with her shirt, leans over me, and grabs the plate of mitai from the table. I try to jerk out my hands, but the weight of her tire don't let me. The struggle is real. Yes, but my hands are too cold for your skin. Oh, I'm not cold. You are. When I was young, I was so active, I never felt cold a day in my life. And your mom is like that too. She never sits down. Nano winks at me, hushes me with a finger, and pops another piece of mitai into her mouth. I surrender as my hands start to warm up.
That was Faiza Tariq reading her story, The Mitai Plate. This concludes Life Rattle number 1376. My name is Lori Callis. I had the pleasure of recording Faiza reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week to hear a great story by new Life Rattle writer, Michael Rudigliano.